Kevin's Den is Wrecking Ball Radio.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den, filling in for Coffee Talk. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than being thrown in the clink for playing with a toy. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Joe Curry and Pip Helix. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, everybody.
Big show tonight. We're going to have an actor and a comedian arrested and facing up to 10 years, if you can believe this, in jail for acting. This is a true story. For acting. He might go to jail for acting. We're going to interview the man who this happened to in just a little bit, Carlo Bellario.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. And I have a brand new You Stink. Pip did something this week. I'm not sure what exactly Pip did. I never know. I never know what exactly Pip's up to. And Joe has some good news on the divorce front. But first, Pip likes carnivals, apparently.
Well, not necessarily carnivals.
You're
only.
Carny type folk.
No, no, no. I do not like carny folk.
You're, no, I'm calling you carny folk.
Oh yes, well that okay. That,
yeah, I'm calling you carny.
I'll
folk.
Take that.
So apparently, people go to these carnivals and other places or standalone shops, and they get their fortune told.
Sure, all the time.
And yeah, you see them all over the place. And amazingly enough, like tarot cards, your palm read,
mm-hmm.
Looking into a crystal ball, and apparently enough, people believe this. But Pip would have us believe, Joe, that not all of these soothsayers are on the up and up.
Do tell.
Well, the thing is, there are a lot of people out there that are making their living being mediums. And they're...
I used to be a small, but...
they're really more lukewarm. Mm. Yeah. The thing is that there is a technique out there called cold reading, which a lot of people practice, and you'll see some of the big mediums that are out there. Like some people,
was like Miss Cleo one of those?
No, yes.
John Edwards?
That could be. John Edwards is one of the big cold readers.
He's a cold reader.
Yes, he is. And okay. Also, allegedly. And so...
is he a dyslexic cold
so
reader?
So, allegedly is the...
I see your mother's alive.
Oops! On to the next person!
I brought her back. She's right here. She's very unhappy.
She's next to me. So the person passes your mother. She's next to me.
I'm going to tell you about Mary. What? Dyslexic cold reader. He's going to tell you what you're going to hear about.
Yeah. Actually, you're not half wrong. Because
usually all wrong.
One of the things that cold readers do is that they will ask leading questions to try to get the person to open up about what it is that they want to hear about. And then the cold reader will pretend that, oh, yes, I knew that because I just heard the voices from beyond tell me that.
Mm. Give me an example.
All right. So sometimes there'll be a person and they'll give a question. They'll say, first of all, there's a number of things that they do first. They set the scene.
Okay.
You know,
make it look official.
Yeah, you know, well...
A little monkey skull in there?
Well, sometimes they have props like the tarot cards or the crystal ball. Some of them...
Props?
Not those kind of props.
Props? This is how I communicate with the other side. How dare you?
We communicate with the other side by the internet. But...
I don't know what she means.
The other side is our listeners. But they're not all dead, though. And the mediums, they will use props, or some of them will just stand there and say, okay, I'm standing in front of an audience full of people.
That was John Edwards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
John Edwards would just like walk into a place, go, all right, and I smell something bad. Did somebody have cheese?
Yeah, this is a smelly reading.
But people would swear by John Edwards.
Yes, they would. Mm. They would. And they use various techniques. Well, first of all, they have to act confident but humble. And he's got that in spades. That's just like the Long Island medium. She's got the same shtick. I'm just a nice lady from Long Island with nice nails. But, oh, your mother? I feel a mother energy next to you. Mm. Did she pass? And it's like, yeah, everybody had a mother energy because everybody's...
I'm 90, babe. Of course she passed.
Everybody's got either... If your mom's not passed, your grandma's passed, somebody's got a motherly energy.
So how do they
passed.
Get out of that, though? It's like, no, my mom's still here. She paid for you, dummy.
No, well, they'll say, oh, well, then perhaps it's your grandmother that I'm feeling.
Okay.
Did your grandmother have anything to do with raising you? And they'll be like, yes, Nana was there all the time. It's like, okay, then, yes, she told me that she helped raise you. It's like she asked you the question... you know, who's dead? You told her, and then she pretended, oh, yeah, no, that's what she just told me.
See, that would be the worst. I'd be like, no, no, that didn't happen. You're full of baloney. I don't believe you. I want my $5 back. I expected more.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that they do to set the scene is that they will tell you they want to elicit your cooperation. They'll say things like, you'll need to help me read the signs, or I need you to be open and to be present and to – you have to remain –
I'm going
to
try this with you, Joe. Things might work better for me.
You have to be open and receptive, Joe. And,
I need you to be present. Help me, help you, help me.
That's why when you put something about the election or something like that, write that. I want somebody to be open. Okay, Davin.
Yes. I'm learning.
Yes, sir. And so that you are on notice. Now, the person has gone. You might be a skeptic, but you're on notice. They say, it's not going to work unless you help me out by being open or receptive to the situation. So then
they say the same thing with hypnotism.
Yes, that you have to help, that you have to be receptive, because then they can turn around, if they have a bad reading, they can turn around and place some of the blame on you. You're closed off. You're not ready to
be. Which is different than comedy, because in comedy they say never blame the audience, even though sometimes you people stink. They say never blame the audience.
Yeah, they say never blame you, but sometimes you just want
to. Yeah. But here with the medium, it's like, you know what, you guys could do better. I know you're paying me, but you should really raise your game.
Yeah, really. Right. You were thinking about what you had for lunch, weren't you? Yeah. You're not open.
Very interesting.
You know? So they put some of the onus on how well this is going to work on you. Then what they do is they observe the characteristics of the person that they're reading. Mm. They see, okay, how old are you? What's your ethnicity? Do you have any...
Why, are they worried you're not going to pay?
No. They're looking to see things that they can use in their reading of the people gone. So
lettuce. Did your ancestors pick lettuce?
Oh my God, they were all rabbits. How did you know that? Well, they were fuzzy and they hopped a lot. My mother invented the bunny hop. But the thing is that they'll look at the person and they'll go, okay, do they seem to be like overweight? Do they smoke? Do they have any obvious health issues? You know, I can use that in my reading. And then they'll extrapolate from that, like, okay, well, they're heavy. The person that came with them next to them is heavy. Then I know, well, if somebody passed in their family, maybe they had some kind of like weight-related
heart
disease. Maybe they had heart disease.
Diabetes.
Maybe they had diabetes. That's right.
Maybe they crushed a Prius. You know, something.
Well, they read into those things. They read your clothing, your hairstyle, your
like if you look like you have money.
Yeah, do you look like you have money? Do you look like you've had a hard life? What's funny about having a hard life?
You look like you were ridden hard and put to bed wet.
Well, I mean, and also, what's your dialect? What's your do you sound like you're from New York? Oh, I'm getting Brooklyn. You're gonna have somebody you knew from Brooklyn.
They would get that,
you know?
Specific.
Oh yeah, yeah, because they're listening to you and they're taking up clues. If they know, one of the things that they become experts at is reading their subject, and then they can extrapolate from that. If they know you and they read how old you are, they can infer how old your parent would have been. Then they know a lot of things because they study up on things like what were the things that happened during their time, their years, what was going on in history, what were the favorite names.
So like with me, they would say, I'm seeing tattoos.
Yeah. Well,
they might do something like that. They found
because they might hear you speak. They might infer that you were Jewish, and they would know that Jewish people do not get tattoos.
Tattoos.
The thing.
There's numbers on those tattoos.
Oh, those kind of. Oh,
yeah, but
God.
Then it's like horror. Like these are your relatives. They were killed in the camps, and they're speaking to me.
They could. Right. They could. Yes. Exactly.
I wasn't being horrible.
Oh, I thought you were.
But no.
That's more the usual. Hmm. But then they'll do things like they'll use big. Reaching statements, like they call them Barnum statements. They'll like, you know, Barnum and Bailey, because he was a big talker. Mm-hmm. He was the biggest.
We call them Trump. Yeah. We call them Trump statements now.
Trump statements. No, but they'll say things
like, I see a wall being built.
They'll say the kind of overreaching statements that you read in your horoscope every day. You have much unused potential. Everybody wants to believe that about themselves.
Nobody believes that about me.
You get anxious in social situations. You've been a victim of a theft or a burglary. Yes, there was that one time.
Right, because everybody's had something stolen from them.
Right, and it feels real. And they fish, and they try to get...
Like a scammer.
Yes, that's what they're doing. They're scammers. They're trying to
grifters.
Get you to tell them the information. And then they say, after the fact, it switches. They ask you questions, and then all of a sudden they say, yes, yes, your mother is telling me something about smoking. It's like, yes, she smoked all the time. Or they'll say, they'll generalize. They'll look at Joe, and they'll say, I'll figure out how old a person that would have passed in his time frame. What were the most popular names? And he's Catholic. He's Italian. So there's got to be a Marie, a Mary, or somebody. Mm. They're taking your information and giving it back to him, pretending they're hearing it.
All right. Well, this is very interesting. Pip, can you put the link to this on our Davin's Den Facebook page?
Absolutely.
So you really got quite involved with this.
There's a lot to learn about this. This is an article that from Psychic Science.
Okay. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk to Carlo Bellario. You're listening to Davin's Den, filling in for Coffee Talk. We are back. You're listening to Davin's Den, filling in for Coffee Talks. We got a little segment here. We're going to do some comics in the news. I'm just going to find the theme song, and hopefully I will edit this out. So, Joe, put some extra times on the clock, please. As I do some housekeeping. Just trying to find where it is.
Look at, he looks cute with the feather duster and the little skirt, doesn't he? Yeah. Look, could you get underneath the beds this time with the vacuum? Because there's dust bunnies under there.
Yes.
Right. Awful.
All right, now shut up.
And now it's time for Comics in the News.
Yeah, so once again, a comic wound up in the news for not a good reason, but for a change, this comic really didn't do anything wrong.
That's refreshing.
Yeah, so Carlo Bellario was doing a shoot for a film. And they're in the streets of New Jersey, and he's doing a car chase scene.
Right.
And he's hanging out the window, pretending to shoot a fake gun.
Okay.
Apparently, this is a no-no, and now he faces up to 10 years in prison. So we welcome to the show Carlo Bellario. How are you, Carlo?
Hey, Davin. How are you guys? Thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's a pleasure, man. When we found out about this story, I mean, people wouldn't even believe that something like this happens. But it is. So let's go through this. How did you find this acting gig? Because presumably this wasn't Hollywood.
No. You know, comedy is my full-time gig. It's my first love. It'll be until they put me in the ground, I'm going to be doing it. But in between, you know, I made a promise to myself that last year I was going to try and do more acting. Because I've done the mainstream shows. I've done Law & Order. I've done The Blacklist. And I'm part of a group on Facebook that they post about casting calls. So I just happened to see once that one of the girls that was in the movie posted about it, that they were looking for extras for they needed bodyguards for a drug dealer. So I said, okay, I can do this.
Did you have to audition?
No, I just submitted.
Mm-hmm.
I sent them a quick resume, and I got casted. A couple days later, they said, oh, we'd love to have you. Now
let me ask you a question, because this is important. We deal a lot with scams on the show. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, I've been in the position, other people on the show have been in the position, our audience has. Did you do any research on the people you were working for, you know, either when you first heard of the gig or when they cast you? Did you do, like, a Google search and go, let me find out about this production company?
No, what I did was I when I found out the name of the movie,
mm-hmm.
I went on their page. I just took a brief, and they looked like, it looked innocent enough. It looked like a bunch. I thought he was a college student at first, but I guess he was somebody that did it coming out of college, and they've had other movies under their belt.
Okay.
You go to their site, they look like, you know, they've been doing it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I said, you know what, and I don't normally do stuff for no money. I mean, I don't perform comedy for no money, but, you know, with the movies, and especially an independent movie, I sometimes take a chance on it, because you never know if something like that breaks, if it goes into a film festival, becomes a big deal. So for the credit and a copy of the movie, I said, you know what? It was a Monday. I had nothing going on. I said, you know what? Let me give it a shot.
So there's no apprehension by you. You feel pretty good about this thing.
Yeah, no, you know, I did it with my eyes open. I didn't, never in a million years that I thought would happen. You know, I thought it was like I go for 4 or 5 hours, and then I'm done. And then I can add it to a reel or whatever if it turns out.
Well, let's talk about what happened. I kind of set the table. So you're filming on the streets of New Jersey. You know, you're doing your scene. They got the cameras. What happened?
You know, we were in this pickup truck. There was a guy driving. I was the passenger. There was two guys in the back seat of the cab at a pickup. One was the director of photography, and another was a camera guy. And they had GoPro cameras on different angles to catch me and to catch the driver. We're supposed to be chasing a car in front of us, but there was actually no car. And what we would do is, in a residential area, which we would drive down the street real fast and pretend like we're in a high-speed pursuit. And I just stuck my arm out the window right above the side mirror and was pretending to shoot, like making my hand recoil. And they were going to, supposedly they were going to dub in the sound later, the sound effect.
All right, so there's no sounds, there's no flashes of red, like a bullet, like a gun going off, coming out of your gun. It essentially looks like what a 7-year-old would do with his friend, minus the car.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
So we do this now for 3 or 4 blocks, everything's fine, we get back to where we were staged, we get surrounded by 8 cop cars.
8? Wow.
Apparently... 3 residents in the area saw what was going on and called the police. Now
they saw you chasing no one. They saw you pretending to shoot a gun, chasing no one.
Right.
Very scary.
You know, and I can't fault them because I think the whole thing about this whole situation was the timing, because it was right in the midst of that stuff that happened in Paris. So everybody's tensions were high.
Okay.
So. I mean, if I lived in a neighborhood and I seen something like that, I would have probably called the cops.
Hey, listen, I'll tell you what, I got to disagree. I got to disagree. If there's a terrorist and he's shooting at nobody, I call that a win.
Well, the cops show up and they're amped up. Now, they don't know either. They're getting a call that there's a guy with a gun. They don't know what they're driving into. So when we get there, they get there and we try to explain calmly. Now, I had the gun in my waistband. It was a prop gun, mm-hmm. supposedly. Prop gun turned out to be an airsoft BB gun, but I'll get to that in a minute. They questioned everybody. I said, sir, this is a movie shoot. I was very respectful to the cops. Yes, sir, I didn't know it. I said, we're actors here. We're shooting a movie. And the producer and the director, there was about 10 people there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they're questioning everybody. He's telling me to leave my hands on the car. I'm saying, I'm not moving. You know, mm-hmm. I was cooperating. So he's talking. Next thing I know, the kid... the name of the producer's name was Andre Joseph. The name of the movie was Vendetta Games. The kid had no permit to film, nor did he have a permit for the prop gun, which turned out to be an airsoft BB gun, which in New Jersey, if you have a toy or you have an assault rifle, it's the same thing.
Okay.
Under the Graves Act. So a couple minutes later, the cop goes, all right, I'm placing you under arrest for possession of a weapon.
Wow.
So now why are Carlo... Why are you on the... Because I understand you and the other actor were taken to jail, but the producers were not. Is that correct?
I was the only one taken.
You were the only one. Why?
Yeah, so,
why not the producers? I mean, they're the ones responsible. They're the ones who didn't get the permits for the weapon or to shoot. Why are you on the hook?
Well, see, this is what I can't figure out, Davin. You know, they put me in the car pretty much right away. And they were still outside milling about, the cops talking. So I don't know what this kid said to them, if he didn't take responsibility for it. But I would think, you know, first of all, when a cop showed up and ascertained that this is just a movie shoot, I would have said, yelled at us, said, pack your stuff and get out, and gave the producer or director, whoever was in charge of the set that day, a ticket for not having a permit to film.
Sounds logical.
Yeah, it does.
You know, oh, you want to give me a ticket for inciting a public riot or something, for disturbing the peace or something? I understand, because, you know, and I can't, you know, they're saying, well, you can't claim ignorance. But I was hired to do a role. I have all the sheets. I have the call sheet that day. I have all the emails that we traded back and forth to prove. I spent 4 days in Middlesex County Jail.
All right, so let's get to that quickly, because time is short here. So you're in jail for 4 days. Your girlfriend is trying to get the bail money to get you out of jail. 4 days is a long time, by the way.
Yeah.
The prosecution is still going to prosecute this case. Am I right?
As of right now, it's in Superior Court. It looks like they want to play hardball.
Why?
There's no merit to this.
You know what? It's New Jersey. That's why. I can't figure it out. You know? The producer said, oh, don't worry, we'll come and bail him out. He never showed up. He left my girlfriend high and dry, and she doesn't know. She was frantic, running around trying to Because, you know, when you have to deal with a bail bond, so you need 35 co-signers. You got to put up your house, this, that, and the other thing.
Oh, wow. I didn't
know.
And it
was just crazy. And it's weird because that happened on a Monday, Davin. That Saturday, I was in Pennsylvania at the Sands Casino. I was opening up for Billy Engvall, mm-hmm. a career high for me.
Right.
And then two days later, I'm sitting in a jail with a 24-year-old kid who was withdrawn from heroin.
Right. So now let me, because we got about a minute here. So you're facing 5 to 10 years. You don't know. You don't
degree crime.
You don't know if the prosecutor, like you said, is going to play hardball or the judge is going to go, you know what, let's throw this case out. But meanwhile, you got to pay for all these legal fees. Is that correct?
Legal fees, the bail bondsman, all the days I lost working. I can't leave the state to travel for my comedy.
How
there's some money there.
How much are you out so far? Ballpark.
Between 10 and 12,000 so far.
Wow. Between 10 and 12, and you're facing jail. So you started a GoFundMe so people can help you out, Carla. What's the GoFundMe?
It's GoFundMe.com/rawdeal.
GoFundMe.com/rawdeal. Pip's going to look that up. She's going to put that on our Facebook page either tonight or tomorrow.
So
if people want to contribute, Carla, we're going to keep an eye on this. Good luck. Thank you for taking the time to join us.
Thanks, Davin.
Good luck. Good luck with everything.
You are listening
Take
to.
Care, bye.
You're listening to Davin's Den filling in for Coffee Talk. We'll be right back. We are back. You are listening to Davin's Den filling in for Coffee Talk. That was just a very interesting segment with Carla. We're going to keep our eyes and ears peeled on that. Hopefully he makes out, because I think the prosecutor should use his discretion and not go after Carla.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe we track down the producer, because that's really where the errors occurred. I mean, you get hired for a gig, you have expectations.
Expectation that the permits were secured on both for the shoot and on the gun.
Yeah. All right, Pip. So there's expectations of you. Every week we
Oh, dear.
Every week we expect you to get into hijinks, and normally you do.
There's a girl.
This week was no different?
No. As a matter of fact, I was sitting at my desk at the day program, and my coworker and I heard a thump on the glass door.
Sorry, it was mine. I wanted attention.
Well, we thought somebody wanted attention. And so my coworker went out to take a look at it, and a bird had flown into the window.
Oh.
And flopped down on the ground and was on its back and was spinning around like a top. It was all freaked out.
Maybe it was a breakdancing bird.
Yeah, we threw it a couple
was
bucks.
Was it a black bird? Huddle, huddle.
Oh, God. We threw it a couple bucks and went back to work. No, it was after hours, so I thought, oh, poor thing. And so,
because during hours, let the thing suffer.
Yeah.
I have deadlines.
Bird suffering hours are from 9 to 5.
Birds have died. Headlines have passed.
I have stuff to do.
Sure, you're a busy woman.
No, so I went over and I thought, oh, poor thing. So it had stopped spinning around, and my coworker was very distressed.
Like, how fast was it spinning?
Well, I didn't see it. She said it was going around and around like
Maybe
crazy.
Maybe your coworker drinks.
She does, but that's besides the point.
Okay.
So I went over and I took a little stick that was over in the shrubbery, and I gently flipped it over, and the thing sat up on its little leg. So we thought, oh, okay, well, it has. And then some blood popped out of its mouth, and we're like, oh, God, this is ugly. But its neck wasn't broken, so I figured maybe it has a chance.
How do you know its neck wasn't broken?
Well, because
what
did it
you tell him to fly it off? Fly it off. Fly it off.
Rub some seed on it, stupid. Get back in there and fly. We're watching you. How do you know its neck wasn't broken?
Well, because it did, like, flop over to the side.
Yeah, but it could still have vertebrae broken in there. You don't know. Well, who are you to talk about the anatomy of a bird? What gives you the rights?
I am not a bird chiropractor.
No, exactly. Yeah. You're not. No. So he could have had some broken bird vertebrae.
I could have, but it was a she, actually.
How do you know?
It was a female
cardinal. Why did this just turn into a medical drama for birds?
I know. It's like...
She brought it up.
Welcome to Bird Hospital.
Listen to him lecturing me like he's House.
Yeah. He's more like Cage.
Cage?
The House Cage.
That was actually clever.
His bird. Yeah, thank you.
So, it was a female cardinal. Which
they're the ugly ones.
No, they're gray, and they have a beautiful little red beak and a little red thing on their head.
Do they?
And
that was from blood coming out of them.
Yeah. Except for all the blood smeared on its little beak.
He would have been cute.
But it was cold out.
She.
So I picked her up with a paper towel, and I put her in a box with some paper towels, and I brought her in my office. So I figured, well, you know what? If she's just shocked and she's got to, like, you know, sit it out and
yeah,
just,
she,
like,
she can't. She looked at you, kids. I can't believe people live like this.
Sit it out. He put you on the bench.
Yeah, I sat it on the bench.
So what would you give her, like, the concussion drill, like the NFL? Do you know where you are? Tweet, 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 tweet.
Who's the president, Birdie?
Whose wings are these?
Yeah, whose wings are these?
Pretty much.
I'm a deacon. Oh, she's a cardinal. I, she was
Went to the well one more time, huh?
Yeah.
Didn't find a child. Found a bad joke. What are you going to do?
Well, it sat there and it blinked a little while, and we were thinking, okay, well, maybe it, if it warms
what
up.
What were you expecting this bird to do?
I wanted it to, like, be unfrazzled and, like, shake it off.
You brought it inside. Plus, your day program, not very nice. Nobody wants to be there.
Not even birds.
I know. That was really true. That was really cruel.
Yeah.
But it did. It sat there in a little box, and it, like, it the shock wore off, and then it wanted to go. And it wanted to be out in the worst way. We have this bird flying around my office.
Bird's flying around the office.
Yes, it is.
You didn't think this through, did you?
Not really.
They didn't put a cover on that box, did
you? No, we didn't.
Thank God you didn't find a little cub.
Oh, well, you know, so it's sitting out on top of the highest shelf. Then it's flying over to and hanging on the...
It's going
to
smash into the window again from the other side.
Yes, I thought, but I had the blinders down, thank God.
Oh, you are a saint.
We scare it out of our office into the hallway, which has a ficus tree. Of course, it flies into the tree and sits in it. Like,
yeah, it's a bird. That's what they do.
Oh, yeah.
like if I chased you, you'd run into, like, Dunkin' Donuts. It's where you go.
Absolutely.
You're a pip. That's where you go.
It was a homing pigeon, just like I am. So
if I chased after Joe, he'd run into the street with half his crap.
That's where he goes.
We'll get there next.
So my coworker holds the back door open, and she flies out of the tree and flew away, and it was a happy ending.
The bird's okay.
Yeah, bird's okay.
You're a saint, Pip Helix. All right. You're listening to Davin's then filling in for Coffee Dog. When we come back, Joe and what used to be his stuff. We're back. Davin's Den in for Coffee Talk. Joe, soon to be ex-wife, stuff, progress, go.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Well, stuff has gotten very real. Finally, we take a major step in the dissolving of my marriage.
That wasn't the word you were going for.
She is my wife is making everything so difficult with everything.
Well, that's why they become ex-wives.
I know, but we go to the media. We got the mediation agreement, and we sat on a Saturday, and we spent an hour going through page by page by page.
How long were you with her?
What,
doing that?
Doing
going through
an,
the
an hour.
Oh, one hour. Was it a hard hour?
It was. It was a very hard hour between her lack of focus and me trying to keep her focused.
You know what you could have used?
Things.
A cardinal flying into a window as a distraction.
I could have used, but it's like you're trying to keep her focused, and it's like, and you know how boring, you know, legal language is. But I'm trying to.
I haven't been sued that much, but all right.
Well, I know, but you were pre-law, so I just, you know,
no, I was law.
A law, all right. But you know, so we're going through, and we go over the figure that I want as a premarital asset,
right?
And I show her the figures. This is everything. This is what we're going for.
Yeah.
We make the appointment. We have 2 weeks after this meeting, you know, her and I sitting down to go to the mediator.
Right.
3 hours before with the appointment, she goes, I don't like the agreement and I want to get a lawyer.
Do you think she spoke to somebody?
She might have, but we go there and I go, we need to go and get this done.
Now, let me ask you a question, Joe. Do you think it's her way of trying to hold on? Like, not like now that it's coming down, because this happens sometimes. It comes down to pike, and you know, people are like, you know what? Maybe I don't want to end this.
I think she's realizing that I'm getting a premarital asset, that I am gung ho on this, and she's going to be alone.
Well, those are two different things. Well, being alone is much different than you getting what you want to get.
Right.
Yeah. But I want to get. I didn't. Yeah. I think that she, you know, that she realizes. Yeah. This has gotten very real.
And you are full steam ahead. You want out.
I'm full steam ahead. And she told me that she, you know what she told me? She goes, she wanted a divorce since the honeymoon. And then
that's a lousy honeymoon.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I tried, you know, she wanted.
Did you take a Staten Island?
I took her to Antigua. How, you know,
That's a nice honeymoon.
Yeah.
You must be miserable company.
No.
That's a terrible review.
No, this was, we weren't on tour. This was, that's
I mean, she's
to.
In Antigua, and she's like, this isn't doing it for me.
So we go to
But you wanted out from Before I Do.
Oh, you, no, I didn't want out Before I Do.
You weren't thrilled when she said she would.
Well, you know.
I remember you telling us, because you had second thoughts. You know, because you felt that where you were in your life that, you know, you weren't thinking necessarily with the straightest of heads at the time.
Yeah. Well, this was hindsight. It wasn't actually happening. This is hindsight.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, so basically we go to the mediator and we did find a figure. You know, I wanted a certain amount as a premarital asset, but it turns out that due to a tax law, I was only entitled for so much.
Okay.
And then we sign off on the agreement and she has made my life miserable. But I did take the big step. I moved. She told me she wants me out of the master bedroom, her bedroom, which is the master bedroom. I lived in this house since I was three.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but not in that room. That was your mom's room.
Well, I know. But I renovated the place. I did over 355 hours renovating that house. I'm the guy that sweats over the bills and stuff like that.
And she appreciates
that. Not one bit. So I am regulated to go into my music room.
Ugh.
Okay, and
ridiculous.
You're
putting up with too much.
Yeah, yeah, and it's just
much.
I have to go in there because it's her TV, you know, and her TV. My master bedroom.
It's your mortgage. It's your property.
I know. So I had to go in.
Here's my 2x4. It's gonna meet your head.
Oh.
Here's a fold out couch. Get to stepping.
And the thing about it is, you know, I'm going from a big, you know, king size bed.
Well, hold on. You did share it with cans.
Yeah, I know.
It wasn't that big.
I know.
Yeah, you cans of peaches. Get out in the living room.
I'm sleeping in a single bed. It's right next to a wall. I keep on thinking I'm in my old bed, so I keep on smashing my head against the wall in the middle of the night.
That explains things.
No, yeah.
That's because you're saying, why did I do this to myself?
You
want to
give him the cardinal protocol? Yeah. Make sure Joe's all right?
Hold on. I got to put you in a little box and warm you up.
Joe, spin on your back.
Yeah. So it's just... It's just very disheartening that I'm, you know.
Yeah, but it's almost over. It stinks. It's wrong, but it's almost. It's better than sharing the bedroom with her.
Oh. Yeah.
It actually is, because she'll wake me in the middle of the night.
Kudos for getting out of there.
Thank you, because this is the big step. And, you know, she'll just tell me. She always wants me to turn over. But you know what she did do? She went into my room, and she set the alarm, because the alarm clock goes off this morning. I'm like, who set this clock? She came in during the night and set the alarm clock, because she knows it's garbage day today and I had to be up.
Oh, man.
You know,
that's the balls. Well,
that's evil, but funny.
Oh, it is.
All right, well, Joe, keep us apprised of the situation.
Oh, I will.
When we come back, I got to use Stink. Davin's Den, filling in for Coffee Talk. Don't go anywhere.
We're back. You are listening to Davin's Den, filling in for Coffee Talk. Last segment of the show, I had a little bit of a run-in with Johnny. Is that what they said? It's Johnny Law?
Yeah.
Johnny Law? I don't know why he's the one. I don't know why you got to blame it Johnny, but whatever. I'm looking for my used Stink. So if you guys want to talk, that would be nice.
Yeah. Oh.
All righty then.
Never mind. I found it. Thank you for your help.
Of course.
I had a used Stink, which is a cherished tradition on this show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You stink!
Ah, you do. All right. So, I go into the city.
Yeah.
Because that's where I do some gigs. And parking in the city is not easy.
Oh, it's miserable.
So, like, when you park, you got to look at the street signs. And when you get a spot, you don't believe if you had the spot.
Oh, yeah, no, I know.
Because it's too good to be true.
Yeah, you think it's a trick.
Yeah, it's a trick, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
you know
sometimes
what it's like?
They are.
It's like if they put out, like, a little bear trap. And like, you know, you put like a little honeypot there for you to catch a bear or whatever, and a little snap, and you go, oh, a spot. Boom. Then they go, gotcha.
It's like it's like a spot with a stick with a box over it, and they're waiting to catch
you
with it.
Yeah, parking in New York City is maddening.
Yeah. It's like being in a bad marriage.
Yes, very much so.
Because in both cases, you're probably going to lose something you like.
Yes.
Well, I can't stand when I park and then I look up at the sign and I have to stand there reading it like it's the Old Testament.
You,
and I'm trying to like
you
figure it out.
You look at the sign and it's in English, but you still think it's like Chinese. Go, I don't think I'm right.
What's today? What time is it exactly? Wait, does that mean, how long am I going to be there? When I come back, am I still allowed to park
here? You never doubt yourself more
than when you have what appears to be a good parking spot in New York City.
Yeah, yeah, it's like too good to be true.
Like you want to rush and do what you need to do and get back to your car before they're onto you.
Yeah, right.
It's like a burglary.
Yeah.
That's absolutely true.
So I'm running late, and there's snow all over the place because why clean up? And parking is scarce, so I find a place flooded that would park where nobody else would want to. But I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Oh, the Central Park Lake?
No. But I saw nimble, so I go to the curb and everything, and I do my little sign check, and I walk down the block, and I walk back to my car. Like,
Yeah.
All right, I think I can park here. It's metered parking, though. Usually I park for free in the city, but I'm running late. I don't have time to horse around.
Oh, yeah, so they have those little boxes?
Yeah, they have a box, but not the type I like. One that's going to cost me more money than I'm used to. Mm. So I usually park for free, and now it's going to cost me. So I navigate the snow like Everest with a Sherpa.
That's what it's like.
So I get to the Holy Grail, or as they call it, the thing that's going to take my money. And I don't use them very often, so it's not like you would think you just put in some quarters and away you go. It's a credit card. You have to hit up arrows and down arrows and print receipts, and what's my date of birth? And if you can't afford to pay this, who should we call to collect the money?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't park with those, you know, parking meters very often. So I don't know how to work them.
Neither do I.
I get like ATM trauma, like somebody standing behind me or something.
You know what it is? It's like a high school kid, and it's like the second time you've seen a good private part. You're vaguely familiar with it, but you're not really sure how it works.
You're very anxious, but you don't know what to do next.
Exactly. It's like, all right, I think I know how to operate this, but I'm not really sure.
You don't want to let it down.
Yeah. I know what I need to get out of it, but I don't know if I have the skill set to get out what I need out of it. Parking in New York is very stressful on many levels.
Yes. Very stressful.
So I manipulate the meter. As it were, I get my $4 receipt.
Yeah,
which again I usually park for free. So I'm ambling back. You know, put your little stroll music on. Joe will be nice strolling music.
Yeah, dun 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 dun.
Yes, that's me strolling back. And what do I see? Is there somebody bearing gifts?
No.
Is there somebody throwing roses?
No.
I see a cop.
Mm. Of course he did.
Well, I wasn't being mugged, so of course there's a cop there.
Nah,
what is he doing? He's writing a ticket.
You know.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you doing? Well, I'm writing a ticket. No, I see that's stupid.
Yeah.
That's the part I understand.
I wasn't making small talk.
Yeah. I'm like, why are you doing that? I got my thing. Well, I didn't see you. Look left.
Yeah. I was right there.
So let me say, you will not be working lookout if we get invaded.
Well, wait, don't they have a rule or something, though? You know, if they
yeah, when Deadbolt talks his car, run and give him a ticket.
don't even wait for the engine to shut off. Start writing. He's still in the car. He meant to park. Yeah, like there was like he was hovering like a vulture on like a carcass.
Oh.
And my car was the carcass.
It was still warm.
I'm like, I was going there. All you had to do was look. Well, I didn't see you. Yeah, because you didn't look.
Shouldn't they be looking at those boxes
yes.
to see if there's somebody at them? Maybe. That might be the person for that car.
You would think. Yeah.
Or he wrote quicker. I'm like, well, stop. Knock it off. I'm right here. He's like, well, once I start, I can't stop. No, you can.
Yeah.
You can. It's a ticket. Not sex.
Yeah.
You're rating, you're not climaxing. Yeah. You can stop this. There's a way you can, you have that. If somebody was getting shot at the next corner, if you were taking on shots, you would stop writing.
Yes.
There is a way to stop that.
Well, maybe he was climaxing. Maybe he really likes his job.
It's his quota.
Oh, yeah, no, they have to get that from
him. I'm like, well, what time did you start writing a ticket? He says 9:11. I go, well, that's what my receipt says. It's 9:11. It's the exact same time. You're wrong. Knock it off.
So the minute you walked over there, basically, he starts writing the ticket.
I guess.
Ugh.
So he's like, well, you know, you can go on. You can go online. And
I shouldn't have to. You're the guy that gave me the ticket.
Right, but now I got to get a third party involved. I got to get the judge involved.
Oh, for God's sake. You couldn't send the Sherpa back to
but,
tell
but
him to wait.
But the funny thing is, we need a judge. Why? We both know I paid the parking
And now
thing.
I got to do it online. It's just a whole thing. So,
in the hopes that you might say it's not worth the effort.
Right.
And they get their money.
So there is my you stink
oh,
for
man.
The week. Joe? Yeah. Where will you be, hopefully not stinking?
Yes, no, we'll be stinking. I will be at the Comedy Works in Bristol, Pennsylvania, February 12th and 13th. Some great shows, so take your sweetie on down there for Valentine's weekend. You can dial 215-741-1661.
Friday, February 12th, live comedy in Oak Ridge, New Jersey at Casa Bianca. For tickets, call 973-697-9704. Casa Bianca. Saturday, February 13th, I'll be in Rutherford Hall in Hackettstown, New Jersey. For info, go to lowhudcomedy.com. lowhudcomedy.com. Next week, we have a special Valentine's Day show here. You're definitely going to come back for that. That's a lot of fun. As always, go to the Davin's Den .com website, davinsden.com. We're going to have information for Carlo's GoFundMe on our Facebook page.
It's already there.
Who's better than Pippi Hillis?
I'm nobody.
We're going to have information on the fortune telling.
It's already there.
Mm. And there's also like audio of one going bad.
There's a clip of a cold reader that goes hilariously bad.
How long is that clip?
It's about 5 minutes.
5 minutes. All right. Well, very good. So a lot of stuff on the Davin's Den Facebook, friend. Follow us on Twitter at Davin's Den. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please, please, please keep on listening.